choice for a new middle school because it was placed at the point where middle class white, middle class black, and poor blacks joined, so that presumably it would get a very heterogeneous group of students. And it did at first, although a lot of people who wanted to go to Reisenstein from the poor black communities were not allowed in because it would upset the balance. They attempted to get a 50-50 black-white ratio. This has gradually changed so that now there's probably an 80% black to a 20% white population. And there have been problems in the school, but there have also been notable successes in the Reisenstein School. The magnet schools were established for the same purpose, to bring in people from different neighborhoods to study together. Some of the magnet schools have been successful, and Pittsburgh was acclaimed nationally as having the best magnet school for the performing arts. Nationally. Now, this is an amazing success. I do think the effort, we've given up on integrating all the schools. There are some schools in the black neighborhoods where no white will go, and there are 100% black. And the effort now is where it always should have been.
Are those grade schools or high schools or both?
Fort Pitt School, I'm thinking of, is a grade school. Westinghouse is a high school. Shenley now has considerable white population, but I don't know the percentage because of some of the special magnet programs in that school. The effort now is on trying to raise the standards of all schools, which is where it should always have been, and the recognition that you can't make people live and study together if they're just going to refuse to do so, and if you lose those students to private schools. I'm involved in a very interesting experiment right now at Fort Pitt School, from which I hope a proposal will come to the Pittsburgh Foundation so that we can continue it. I met a woman who was on the faculty of Indiana University in Pennsylvania. She's a tenured professor who teaches graduate school students in education. And for their student training programs, she places them in the Pittsburgh Public Schools. And we talked together about really making a difference and how you can make a difference in schools where the level of academic achievement is not that very good. She found a principal at Fort Pitt School who was very interested in making changes. And at the present time, in the fourth and fifth grades at Fort Pitt School, she has put in enough graduate students so that all students are going to be in groups of eight, no larger than eight, to one teacher. And the program, which just started this month, is each teacher is working up a particular program, which, for instance, space, what are those things that go up?
Oh, a shuttle.
A shuttle. In which the students for 1 week will study the math, the physics, the kinds of science you need to become an astronaut. And there's another particular project on the environment, which you're going to study water pollution and the chemistry you need to make water pure and all that kind of thing. There are eight projects in all. And for 1 week out of every month, each student will spend that whole week in a particular project of his choice. Then the next 3 weeks, the regular teachers will try to weave in their regular schoolwork, connections to that project. And each month, the students will rotate so that by May, when they finish, each student will have had an experience of being in a group of eight for 1 week, studying only one subject.
Have they started this yet?
Yes. It started in December, and I was I went up, my friend wanted me to see it before and after, so I went up to see the regular classes. And the next day was the big snow in Pittsburgh. So I didn't get to see the new thing in action, but the principal and all the teachers and all the students, and I was introduced to every one of them, were so excited about doing this. They were all fired up on the kinds of curriculum they were going to create for the students. And the students had their choice. They had to give their one, two, or three preferences for which one they'd be in first. The principal was so interested that she is teaching one project herself. And when you get a principal who's teaching the classes, Fort Pitt School up in Garfield, an all-black school, one or two whites in it. So it's that kind of thing that I'm really very interested in and hope that we'll be able to continue it. You know, this particular professor will always have students to place in the public schools, but there are a lot of public schools, and how you can make this kind of... First, we have to see if it works. This is with a group who... a high-risk population, very poor, many drop out. Mentally, they drop out after the fourth grade. They drop out as soon as it's legally possible. Places full of crime, drugs, the whole area is not safe to go up into alone, especially if you get near the housing project up there. So it'll be a very interesting
thing. Wonderful idea. Right. Tell me something. Are the parents involved?
Yes. The parents were brought in from the beginning. Everybody's enthusiastic about it. Now, this is the first month. In May, I'll know whether it really was worth doing, whether that kind of reorganization of schools can be successful. This particular principal at Garfield has taken, has done something interesting in the earlier grades. She has one teacher follow the student from kindergarten through first, second, and third grades. The same teacher. Now, this could be disaster if a teacher couldn't stand that particular student or vice versa. But on the whole, the idea is for that teacher to really know that student. And each semester when they come in, she's not starting fresh, having to learn names and characteristics and the previous diagnosis of the previous teacher. She is their teacher. The kids seem to love it, and the teachers love it. This has not up until now continued into the fourth grade, but now we have this new idea for the fourth grade. So we'll see what works.
In my opinion, this is what they should be doing all over the country to engage.
Well,
the
we talk about
and
reorganizing
and choices and
right.
Interest.
Right.
Well, that is
this particular principal, by the way. I wish we had more like her. I was sitting in her office when a child was sent in for bad behavior. And what was she doing to this child? She gave him a book to read. And the book was about a boy who had bad behavior in class and what made him do that and what later turned him around. And he was to read that book and copy it. And when he first came in, he said, well, he'd read a great deal of it. And she asked him some questions. It was clear he hadn't finished. Sent him back to read some more. And when he came in at the end, it was clear that he had gotten something from that book, and that was the end of the punishment. It was just such a refreshing way of handling
right.
a discipline problem.
I think we have had a very interesting portrayal of the Jewish, of the community, and the involvement of Jewish people in the community and their interaction with non-Jews and in every particular area.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Finish your thing.
And I can't thank you enough for contributing to our knowledge.
You did ask me about how the environment, physical environment of Pittsburgh has changed.
Yes.
And of course, when I grew up, Pittsburgh was the smoky place, which I think it was Frank Lloyd Wright described as hell with a lid off. And it was a city that I thought, I can't wait to get, we ought to live in some place where the air is clean to breathe. And I remember when we went on vacations, I hope I didn't say this earlier, when we went on vacations, to New Jersey to the ocean when I was a child. When you went over the, there was no tunnel. You went through Wilkinsburg and out Route 30, and there was no turnpike and up and down the mountains. But as soon as you crossed the Westinghouse Bridge at Turtle Creek, you could see the change in the air. And from then on, it was just the pleasure, and the ocean
right.
was so wonderful. And when you came back, as soon as you approached the Westinghouse Bridge and saw the smokestacks and the haze over the whole city, your heart sank as you went into it again to live the 11 months of the year before you could get out again. And, of course, everybody knows how Pittsburghers had to change shirts once or twice or more a day. Underwear had to be washed daily. Curtains had to be washed yearly. Wallpaper cleaned yearly. I was amazed when I went on to other cities, and they didn't clean their wallpaper or wash the rooms every year. I was surprised that it was necessary. Well, anyway, with the demise of the steel mills starting in 1981, there was a tremendous change. The first change came with the Smoke Control Act, which was passed in 1946, but was not really implemented for many years after. But the Smoke Control Act's effectiveness was not so much in cutting down the smoke of the mills as it was in eliminating coal furnaces in every home. The big difference was when people were forced to change from their coal furnaces to gas furnaces, and that made the big overall difference. We still are having problems getting the Clairton and the Hazelwood coke ovens to reduce their emissions of sulfuric particles into the air. But and for a while, I was on the Allegheny County Bureau of Health, and I was torn at one meeting, absolutely went into a paralysis of inability to make a decision. This was me personally, because there were people whose husbands were employed in the coke ovens begging us not to change the laws because their husbands would lose their jobs. And there were the people who were promoting clean air for the rest of us. It was such a difficult decision, and again, it was a change that could only come about gradually. But when the steel mills shut down in 1981 and 100,000 people were put out of work, and we had to look for other means of employment, and became a major health center and a computer center and all that kind of thing, Pittsburgh became a much cleaner city. And the rivers, the Monongahela River, began to look like a greenish blue instead of brown, which it always looked like before.
But it came at a price.
But the price was a very high price to pay. And aside from the massive unemployment, and those people, many of them were still having the problems, many of them certainly from 50 years and older will never get reemployed at comparable jobs. Aside from that, we lost something else that I regret only in my head, because I'd rather live in a clean city, but I do regret the fact Pittsburgh was a throbbing pulse of the industrial strength of this nation. And it was the source of why we won World War II. We produced the steel and the stuff that enabled us to win that war. And somehow, I regret the loss of that position.
I can see where you're conflicted in on this issue. Sure.
Yeah, it was a loss of being the major producer of something absolutely essential. And we're not that anymore. And the whole country isn't. I mean, one of our big problems is that steel is being produced elsewhere.
It's there are so many factors to be
right.
considered.
Nothing is simple.
About
Nothing
right
is simple.
With the environment. Well, thank you very much, Rita. I think that we'll wind it up for this session. I want you to know that if you have any additions and so on, we will be more than happy to continue this. Any questions?
No, this has been a pleasure.
I hope I, you know, I hope.